moving.
Okay, one more.
Don't know. Torreway, Northwest London, Zion Nissan, 29th of March, Rabbi Aaron Hirschleiter, Pesach, rushing through the best parts.
Somebody came up to me this week after he saw the title. We were running? We're up and running. Somebody came up to me this week after he saw the title and was expressing the hope that this would be a share about how to get through Seder night in the most expedient and timely manner. On which all I have to say is that the four psukim of the Geula are the essential part, so you could, in theory, miss out the proofs to each section of the four, but we'll leave it there from a halachic and further exploration perspective. Let's, for the moment, deal with why it is that we eat matzah. Al shumo. So we explain, as is well known, that they did not have time to create the bread that they had envisaged, and as a result, all they had was matzah. They were not able to delay long enough for their original plans to happen. Except that the concept of chipozin, of doing things in haste, is already enshrined in the instructions on the evening of Tesvov, before there was Makas Bechoris. They are told, V'kocho toichlu oisei, this is how you shall eat the Korban Pesach, which you will be having after nightfall of the 15th and before Chatzos. You will be ready to leave. You will be literally waiting for the moment of Cherus. The manner of consuming Korban Pesach was already set long before there was a need for haste. Chipozin seems to be an integral part of Pesach, irrespective of the haphazard way in which, apparently, matzah was created. And secondly, besides for understanding what chipozin was there to create, when did they intend baking this bread? One assumes during the night. In other words, they had the dough, it was going to rise during the whole night. Why? Because they had until morning when they would leave Mitzrayim. Va'atem le'seitzu ish mi pesach beisei ad boiker. So they will have a leisurely meal. They didn't have much of a magid to have to say at the time. One doesn't know how many koses they drank, if any. And therefore they would have the rest of the night in order to bake matzah. And what then takes place is Vatechazak Mitzrayim al Ha'om Lemaher L'Shalchom. That the plague breaks out at Chatzos, and the Mitzrayim urged. Techazak is an even stronger form of verb than that. They literally pushed them out the country. Lemaher l'shalcha min ha'aretz. Why? Ki omru kulonu mesim. We're about to die, and therefore we need you out of here now. Which would appear to suggest that, yes, they had plans for the early morning. They were going to allow the dough to rise in its proper time. Were they not to have been interrupted by these panicked Egyptians who forced them out then? And therefore, the next posuk is, Vayisa ha'omes b'teko terem yachmot. That's what happened. But put together with the instruction of needing to eat the Korban Pesach b'chipozoin earlier in the evening, what this means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated the night of Pesach to take place in an atmosphere of chipozoin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs chipozoin at a time where no plague is yet to manifest, and then brings about chipozoin through the reactions of the Mitzrayim. Chipozoin, if you will pardon the pun, is hard-baked into Mitzrayim, into, therefore, the matzah. Why? Why does chipozoin not now occupy simply an incidental outcome of circumstance, but a central formula for Pesach? So there is quite a well-known Maral who develops this idea of chipozoin, and he explains that Klal Yisrael comes into nationhood that night, and they needed to do so in a manner that was completely different to any other nation prior or post. Meaning, they needed to be created purely through Yad Hashem. Which means that the process needed to be an unnatural one. One that did not have time for it to be affected by the surrounding culture. And the only way for that birth of Klal Yisrael to take place without it being sullied by any other cultural or religious negative input is for it to happen, so to speak, instantaneously. For it to happen b'chipozoin, in a way that did not allow any other input. Nations develop over time. Their legal system, their infrastructure. You know, you have the irony in today's Israel that their legal system, I'm not quite sure how we define their legal system at the moment, but it is based on the British mandate. The British, whom they hate, are the ones that gave them the foundations of the laws that currently, maybe not tomorrow, but today, still exist in Israel. Because it takes time to create a nation. This couldn't be the case for Klal Yisrael. They needed to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people, so they had to burst into existence unnaturally. And therefore, the Maral says that even the concept of eating the Korban Pesach tzeli and not mevushal is because it's the fastest. It is this concept of chipozoin, which means that from Klal Yisrael's perspective, when they sat down to their meal on Leil Tezvov, true, they had the instruction of chipozoin for reasons they did not necessarily know, but their plans were that the dough should create proper chometz. That was accelerated, and the whole evening, the whole night, became one of chipozoin. But as far as we're concerned, on a, so to speak, practical basis, it's not just an historical fact that chipozoin existed at the time of Pesach. It is ongoing. Reb Chaim Friedlander adds that it is well known the comparison of chometz to be the Seor Shebe'isa. The time taken to create chometz is the opposite of what we would refer to as zrizus. It expresses a destruction of time, a bittul of time. Time is no longer of importance, and as the expression exists in English, you kill time. That is what takes place if you allow things to happen over an extended period. Whereas, if things are taken into hand there and then, if every year the way we create matzah is by being very particular about time, then we introduce this element of chipozein, this element of zrizus, and this element of hischadshus into our Pesach. Chipozein is not just something from the past, it serves to give us an impetus of chipozein, of hischadshus, to do things in the here and now. That is the lesson that is extracted from chipozein, which is a foundation of Pesach. With that in mind, we can understand something that is happening as the introduction to chipozein, as the introduction to the event of Pesach itself, and that is Shabbos HaGadol. From the Shulchan Aruch's perspective, as opposed to the Ramah, there is an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch which serves to remind us that this coming Shabbos is called Shabbos HaGadol, without any seeming halachic significance to the Shulchan Aruch telling us this fact. It's history, and it should, by rights, have occurred in the previous siman, which talks about the month of Nisan. One of the events is that the Shabbos before Pesach is Shabbos HaGadol. There doesn't seem to be any halacha associated with it. The Ramah talks about what we do in terms of piyutim and, you know, the preparation for Seder by learning, reading, saying through the essence of Magid. But from Shulchan Aruch's perspective, there's no need for this siman. This is a question that is raised by many, including Reb David Soloveitchik Zatzal. So that's one question about it, why it occupies the space that it does. Second question is, why is it called Godel? Godel is a comparison to something that is smaller. Do we have Shabbos HaKotan? Where is the alternative to Shabbos HaGadol, so that it gets its title? And there are other adjectives that we could have used to describe this Shabbos, which would not have been comparative. Right? Shabbos Shuvah is not comparative. So why is it called HaGadol? But perhaps to answer these questions, we have to ask the third question, which is well known, and that is, what happened that gave it its name? What took place? So, although there are various elements associated with it, really, it is the fact that they set aside the Korban Pesach on the 10th, which was Shabbos. And Yodua, therefore, is the follow-up question, so why celebrate Shabbos, which won't always be the 10th? Why not set aside the 10th, which is what we normally do when we talk about an event and we want to commemorate or re-experience the event? We do it on the date, not on the day. One other question, though. What did they do? They set aside the Korban Pesach, they tied it to Kareh HaMitah, and the Egyptians came by and said, what are you doing? So they told them, we're about to slaughter your idol, your god, and we're going to eat it. Right? Why didn't they take a more diplomatic approach to that? Why didn't they tell a bit of a white lie? Let's face it, the whole narrative of leaving Mitzrayim seems to have been based on somewhat of a white lie, Derech Shleishes Yomim. Now, Yaakov Kamenetsky has a piece where he explains that really that was the initial idea, that they should go out for a Shabbaton in the Midbar, right? JLE would give them 3 days of Kirov, and then they'd come back, and then they would be able to survive the extra 190 years. But it didn't work because Paroi refused to negotiate. But Pashtus, they are keeping with this narrative when they borrow the gold and silver. There's a lot of things happening here which is not telling the story as it is actually going to unfold. So why couldn't they take the path of least resistance and say, you know, we've been instructed by God to do so, we await further instruction, rather than create friction, or even more friction. So the Oznaim LaTorah has a very nice, he doesn't need my Haskoma, introductory piece to the Haggadah, an essay, a Shtickle Torah, where he moves a little bit forward in time and looks at the Yamsuf. Don't worry, we'll come back to the questions and their answers. But he looks at Kriyas Yamsuf. And he says, if you were to describe the ultimate nes and the ultimate event of Kriyas Yamsuf, it will be the fact that the sea split, as the words suggest, because that was against all the odds, to the extent that they needed to do something to create the nes. They needed Dabar al Bnei Yisrael v'Yisov. And the fact that all bodies of water in the world piled up, it had such an effect on the world, never mind on Klal Yisrael and on the Mitzrayim, that in Oz Yashir, Oz Nifhalu Alufe Edoim Eile Moyach Zema Rad, which we say in Oz Yashir every day, which means that that was the event. Yet, there was obviously a second outcome, and that is Shikat Sarenu Besoichai, that the Mitzrayim were drowned. It wasn't just that we were saved, but that they were wiped out. Of the two, one would have naturally ascribed to Kriyas Yamsuf the greater effect. Yet, if you look at the psukim which are familiar to us from the Shira, Vayesh Hashem Bayemu Hu Es Yisrael Miad Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael is saved. Vayar Yisrael Mitzrayim Meisal Svasayom, and the Egyptians were killed. Vayar Yisrael Esayod HaGadela, and then Klal Yisrael perceived HaKadosh Baruch Hu's input, Asha Osa Hashem, he should have said Lohem, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to them, because they were saved. No, B'Mitzrayim, that which was inflicted on the Egyptians, and as a result, Vayira'u Ha'omes Hashem, Vayamin of Hashem of Moshe Avdei. It's what happened to the Egyptians that seems to have been the big deal. If you think about it, the Mitzrayim are in the Yamsuf. The water is frozen. The moment that nes ceases to be, what's going to happen? They're going to be drowned. It's an inevitable outcome. So why is such a big deal made out of what happened to them? It was the forces of nature just taking over the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Nes back into line with Teva. And interestingly, Vayar Yisrael Esayod HaGadolah, we have that word, Godel, occurring in the Nes. And in the Shira itself, we talk about Yemincha Hashem Nedori Bakoyach, Yemincha Hashem Tiratz Oyev, which Rashi explains, really two pshatim in Rashi, but the main explanation in Rashi is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yad Yemin, at the very same time Nedori Bakoyach, because saved Klal Yisrael in the Yamsuf, but ultimately the greater effect was that Yemin Hashem Tiratz Oyev, that it destroyed the enemy. So once again, emphasizing that this is greater than the nes of Kriyas Yamsuf. How so? So, There is a well-known Gemara that tells us why were the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah called such? Because of the events that preceded them. We used to say in the Shemoneh Esrei, HaGadol HaGibur V'Hanoira. Came a time where Nochrim Mecharkerim B'Heichal, the Goyim were being Mevaza the Beis HaMikdosh. So Yirmiyahu said, Aye Gvuraisov. And they stopped saying HaGibur. And then when they were in Golus, Daniel saw that that Klal Yisrael were being Meshubad, were being Nishtabed through the Goyim. So he said, Aye Noiraisov. So they stopped saying HaNoira. Came the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, Hechziru HaTorah L'Yoshna, and they brought back the saying of HaGibur V'Hanoira by saying, look around you. You don't have a Beis HaMikdosh, yet you still are here. You're one sheep surrounded by 70 wolves, and you have survived in Golus. That is the Gevura and the Noira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without the Oroin, and without the greatness of being in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdosh, you are still here. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting you. That is the Gibur and the Noira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu seen through Golus. So what did they return to Shemoneh Esrei? Gibur v'Noira. So why are they called the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? They were saying Godel. Godel was never scrapped. It's Gibur and Noira that was removed. And therefore they should have been called the Anshei Knesset HaGevura V'Hanoira. Those were the words.
Yeah, but what's the name to do of the Knesset HaGdolah with that?
So then why are they called Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? Should it be called Anshei Knesset? No. It's because of what they did that they get the title Godel. And they didn't, because that wasn't the word that they replaced. Says the Yosnaim in the Torah, what they were able to see in the ordinary, in the non-miraculous, in a period of time where there was not a Beis HaMikdosh, was the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were able to bring to bear Godel on a situation which was not miraculous. That is true Gedula. And therefore, Vayar Yisrael Asayod HaGedula, if they would have only seen HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the miraculous, that's an achievement, but not anywhere near as great as seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Teva. As seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an event that was, as we said, inevitable. The miracle stops, the waters come back to where they were, Le'isonai, and therefore obviously the Mitzrayim are going to be drowned. It's natural. The miracle stopped. You could have missed seeing that it was all orchestrated. Why? Because it's taking place in a natural environment. Vayar Yisrael Seyod HaGdolah is Dafka B'Mitzrayim, not B'Yisrael. And this ties perfectly into a very famous comment of the Ramban. It's a larger piece, but the last paragraph of the Ramban in Parashat Boy, where the Ramban says, Umin hanisim hagadolim hamufursomim, from contemplating greater and more obvious miracles, Odom moide benisim hanistorim, a person now comes to understand the hidden miracles are also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheheim, it is the miracles which are hidden, which are Yesod HaTorah Kula. They are the true foundations of Torah. She'ein la'odom chelek b'Torahs Moshe Rabbeinu. A person does not have a portion in Torah. Ad she'namin b'chol dvarenu mikrenu she'kulom nisim ein bahem teva. There is no such thing as teva. That is the true purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Which means that We asked why it's called Shabbos HaGadol, because what it did is bring Klal Yisrael to carry out, when there were no nisim happening, when there were no makos happening, an act of tremendous mesiras nefesh and of emunah. That makes it Godel. And the Godel is compared to somebody who is miktanei emunah. The cotton here and the Godel, the comparison, is levels of emunah expressed at a time where, admittedly, there have been nisim in the past of the Eser Makos. But now you're on your own. And you are here required to take a step, unaided, on the basis of the fact that you are a Ma'amin. That makes it Haggadah. And why is it Shabbos that brings this into being? Because Shabbos, we know the Gemara tells us of the fact that even an Am Ha'aretz would not tell a sheker on Shabbos. Shabbos creates for those who have the ability to plug into it an aura of Kedusha, an environment where I am elevated through my own understanding of what is really happening. To the rest of the world, Saturday doesn't appear any different to Sunday or to Friday or to any other day of the week. Rather, it happens, you know, shop might be open, might be closed, but I don't perceive myself to be in a different space. That is not true when it comes to Klal Yisrael. We see Vayar Yisrael as a Yod HaGdola is what we do when we keep Shabbos to a degree of Mesiras Nefesh, to a degree of Emunah, to a degree of input that is unwarranted by Teva itself. It is viewing the Gedola as a result of our own input. And therefore, to go back to the questions, we said, why is there a separate simon in Shulchan Aruch that tells us of Shabbos HaGadol? Because there is a ramification that comes out of this. This is what we are required to do on this day. Minimally, be aware of the Ramban, of the idea that Teva is the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu purely in the sound and light show, because that will come to an end. It is the absolute requirement to be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Teva, as they did at Kriyas Yom Suf. And therefore, Shabbos is the perfect occasion for this requirement to manifest. At a time where we are in Teva. It's one of the days of the week. No, it isn't one of the days of the week. What makes it not just one of the days of the week? Us, our input, our ability to see through what is Teva and focus on what is behind Teva. And therefore, they didn't lie. They said, as it is, what we are going to do, because they are maminim on that day. And this ties in, therefore, as a preamble to the chipozin that we should experience on Pesach itself, the idea of hischadrus, the idea of zrizus, the idea of being able to see Pesach, not just as an event that took place back then, you know, due to certain circumstances, the plague, Vatechazak Mitzrayim, and therefore things couldn't happen in time. No, we should carry the imperative of Zerizus, of his Chadrus, which is kickstarted by our perspective of Shabbos HaGadol. Kickstarted by the idea of looking at Teva and seeing it as more than just Teva itself, as seeing it as a truly fundamental element of how we need to run our lives, of how we need to experience it. One last thing, which is a Dvar Halacha, which I can't pretend to tie into what I've said, but I came across it yesterday and I thought it's worth sharing. There is a well-known question why we do not say an Al HaGefen after the first kois. There is going to be sheer equal, depending on how many kids are around the table, how long it will be till we get to the meal is considerable, and therefore there is a hefsek. And even if you're going to say there's no hesach hadas because you're involved in what you're doing, but there should be nevertheless a time frame, a time span, which invalidates the bracha rishona that you made on kiddush. And various achrenim remark on this. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that b'daitoi lishtos oid intends drinking more, and therefore the zman ikul, the time of digestion, so to speak, is toila in the machshava of an individual, not just in a physical manifestation of digestion, but the attitude to what I am doing there. And therefore the Esh Lavram says that we would normally make an Al HaGefen, but here not, because there's no histapkus. I am not satisfied with this one kois. I intend drinking another three. And there is a proof to this, seemingly, from the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, of an ordinary day, where the Rambam says, Gomar biliboy milechol oy lishtois, you would make an after bracha. Ve'imloy, if you have not decided, on an ordinary day, you've taken something which there is an after bracha to, and you have not decided to finish eating yet. Afilu posak kol hayom kuloi. Even if the gap is going to be an entire day, nevertheless, you would still be included in that bracha rishona that you had made, because L'chaira, it seems from the Rambam, that he's focusing on your thought process as well as digestion, and hence we would not be required to make an Al HaGefen on the first kois. Sorry? Bracha Rishona, that's because we hold it a separate mitzvah.